Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. Our good friend Paul made the proclamation in one of his epistles that I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's how we have it recorded in the Authorized King James Version. And that's why I give this special greetings to all of those seated in heavenly places in the Messiah every morning. It is my desire, of course, that everyone hearing my voice and everyone everywhere hearing the gospel by whatever means the Holy Spirit brings it to you, that you hear that gospel, that you act on it, you repent of your sins, and you learn obedience by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life and convict you of sin. Then you will have crossed the border into His kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom where He is the King. And He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And that's how we know that we love Him, if we keep His commandments. Now, there's a lot of people, they'll pluck a verse here and they'll pluck a verse there and they'll say, well, I read, everyone who calls on His name shall be saved. Well, you got to read the whole word. You got to take everything in context and you have to weigh it with the whole word. Yes, you know, the scripture does say that. It does say that in the Authorized King James Version, that whoever calls on His name will be saved. But I think we need to put a little more definition on what it means to call on His name. That's a daily calling on His name. Those who practice calling on His name, not just when they're in trouble, not when they just feel vulnerable, or when they feel their mortality, or at the end of their very life, but those that call on Him in all things, those that call Him their King and keep His commandments because they love Him, those that have that true desire to live a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father, those will be saved. Because the scripture also says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. So let's put those two together. Whoever calls on His name and endures to the end shall be saved. And of course, endures to the end of what? We should always beg the question. Why not? That's what we're here for. To the end of what? Well, to the end of your mortality. The challenge is to run the race and to stay in the race. It's not just who comes in first. This isn't a worldly race where they all start at the starting line to see who can run the fastest. No, we're not running the fastest. We're running an endurance race here. We're running an endurance race here, and everyone that finishes the race wins. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. We don't just have one winner. We don't just have one gold medal winner and a silver medal runner-up and a bronze. And of course, everyone forgets everyone after the bronze. Well, who even remembers the bronze except the guy who got it and his friends? And who remembers the silver except the guy who got it and his friends and the guy who got the gold? Everyone remembers the guy who got the gold for a couple days. Certainly not 20 years later. Now that's a race, a prize that perishes. But Paul talks about the prize that doesn't perish. So we need to be seated in heavenly places in Yahshua. That was His Hebrew name. And His Hebrew name is the name above all names, because it is the name of our Creator, which says that our Creator is our salvation. Yahshua, that's His name. You call Him Jesus, that don't bother me. Sometimes I'll say Jesus too, because that's the custom in the West. It doesn't matter if you say His name right. Doesn't matter if you say it wrong. It doesn't matter if you can't say it at all. What matters is that you worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what really matters. But we're about biblical study, so we study things like the name, the meaning, and we try to look at the scripture here on this program, Cross the Border. And we try to look at the scripture for what it really says. We put down all of the doctrines of men, all the corporate teaching, all of the teaching that was developed by Ribera and Alcazar and and other famous Jesuit teachers who have greatly influenced. All the influence of those men have been just tremendous, but not so tremendously good. So we're going to start out there today. I was looking at Daniel chapter 9, and there's an angel speaking to Daniel, and he says, I came to show you, for thou art greatly beloved, Daniel, the angel speaking to him. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. And you know, I can tell you when this happened. And I'm not going to give you an AD or a BC date, because that's all foolishness as far as I'm concerned. People want to argue, was it 564 BC? And, you know, they want to put a BC date on it. We got to date it by the Pope's calendar or, you know, and we're going to argue about it. I don't really care what date it was, but I know one thing I do know, that this is 483 years before the Messiah stepped onto the scene, before the Most Holy was anointed, before the Heavenly Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This is 483 years. Because that's what it tells us here. Listen to it. 70 weeks. And these are weeks of years. History's proved that out. Nobody argues with that one. Everybody's on agreement with the 70 weeks because it actually in the Hebrew, it says 70 sevens. It doesn't say weeks or anything that has to do with what we know as a week or a 7 day period today. In the Hebrew, it says 70 sevens. So I'm going to read it that way, just for the emphasis. 70 sevens. And if you want to know where I'm at, I'm at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. 70 sevens are determined upon thy people. Now, whose people? Daniel's people. Who are Daniel's people? National Israel. That's right. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. 70 sevens, 77-year periods of time to do these things. And he says, know therefore and understand from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah. Okay? Until the Messiah comes. From the commandment to go forth. And we know that that was done in less than 7 years. That the temple was finished and they had started to rebuild. So the commandment was given very quickly here. For Daniel, because Daniel had set on his heart to understand the matter and know the time that Israel, because they were doing their 70 years for all of the Sabbaths they missed. They were doing their 70 years in bondage. And that's the scene where Daniel's at. So he says, know, therefore, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. And 2 weeks. So what's that? 7, 80 and 2 is 62 plus 7. It's 69 weeks. See, that's 1 week short of 70, isn't it? So 69 weeks unto the Messiah. It means the Messiah is coming in 483 years from the going forth of the commandment. That doesn't matter. I don't need an exact date. People like to argue about exact dates. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. We know that it happened, that actually the temple was rebuilt in 2300 literal days from the prior prophecy. And that's already counted down. We're already in the 2300 day countdown because that was several prophecies several chapters ago when there was a different king in Babylon. So we know the countdown started. So we know that it was exactly from the going forth of the commandment to the Messiah was 483 years, 69 sevens, 69 weeks. And then it says, now listen to this, this is key. And it says, after the 62 weeks. So after the 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Why will he be cut off? To make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy. And he was anointed. Of course, he was anointed when he started his ministry. And it says, we continue here in verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Well, we know that's true. He was cut off for us because he had no sin. He didn't die for his own sin. Why, you know what? It's likely that if he was not killed, that he would have lived forever, because death had no claim on him. You know, that's just a speculation on my part. One will never know because it didn't happen that way. But what we do know is that he was cut off, not for himself, but for the people, and the people of the prince that shall come. Now, who's the prince that shall come after the Messiah is cut off? Okay, who's the prince that shall come? The people, and it's not after, because the prince is already there. The people of the prince, of course, would be the army. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So we know that Rome came in, and they destroyed the city, and they destroyed the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. The flood resembles, the flood represents the way that Jerusalem was destroyed. And the flood, a flood of water in prophecy, represents an army. It represents conquest. It represents warfare. Well, we've discussed that in our rules for interpreting prophecy, and we get the interpretation from the scripture itself. Look into it if you're interested. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So the desolation, the abomination which maketh desolate, was determined. It was all determined. This is, you know, to Daniel, they already had one abomination and one desolation. And that was the abomination that brought about the desolation at the hands of the Babylonians, because Jerusalem and the temple were desolated and laying in ruins. But in 2300 days, with those days Daniel was in at the time he received this prophecy, it was being rebuilt. It would be restored, and they would have the dedication or the cleansing of the temple in the 2300 days in the month of Adar, getting ready, yes, for the Passover in the month of Abib. You can read it for yourself. I believe it's Ezra chapter 6, about verse 15. If you want to jump over there, it's a literal 2300 days later that they're restoring the temple and getting it ready for the sacrifice and doing the cleansing of the temple, because that's the first thing they would do when they restored the temple, to get it ready for the sacrifice. So that was the end of the first desolation. The second desolation, the second abomination, which maketh desolate. And yes, there was abominations before that. Some, Epiphanes, whatever, slaughtered a pig on the, that was an abomination, yes, but it wasn't the abomination which maketh desolate, because the desolation didn't come. The only thing that would desolate the temple in Jerusalem was not what some pagan king did, but it would be the sin of national Israel that would bring about the desolation. The Heavenly Father would not punish his people for something that some pagan did, and he would not desolate their temple for something that a pagan did. It was for the national sin of Israel finally rejecting the Messiah and all the sin and their idolatry and turning to idols that he brought, that the desolation came about, both times that it came about. And every prophecy of the rebuilding of the temple is perfectly fulfilled in the scripture, so that it is not necessary for there to be any temple built in Jerusalem ever again. Because I'll say it again, every prophecy of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem has been fulfilled in the second temple, which was desolated, which we're reading about here, the final desolation. And there is no new desolation or third rebuilding or third desolation of the temple. This is not it either. And this is one they say it is, but it isn't. I'm trying to demonstrate that to you right now. After the 62 weeks, after the 69 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. So to the Messiah, 69 weeks or 69 sevens. And after that, he's going to be cut off. So after that, you have your 69 weeks. It doesn't say immediately. It says he's going to show up unto Messiah. He'll show up at the end of the 69th week. And then after that, he will be cut off. And it tells us, let's see, after the 62 weeks, where does it say? Let's just move on here. We talked about the flood, the end of the war, the desolations are determined. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant for many, with many for 1 week. Now, if we go to Malachi, which I'm not going to do right now, he is called the messenger of the covenant. That's a title given to the Messiah. He was the messenger of the covenant. In that same prophecy by Malachi, it says, suddenly he will come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And here Daniel, say Malachi is confirming what Daniel said. He shall confirm the covenant for many, with many for 1 week. Didn't he suddenly come to the temple? He came suddenly to the temple several times, just like Malachi said. This is it. He confirmed the covenant with many for 1 week. And who are the many? Who are we talking about here? We're talking about the 70 weeks that are determined upon thy people, Israel. The many is the people of Israel. And the 1 week, of course, is the 70th week. He shall confirm the covenant. The Messiah after 69 weeks, then the Messiah. He's going to be cut off after that. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And it says, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. When he was hanging on that cross in the midst of the week, he cried out, it is finished. And he said a few other things too, and he had a little conversation with a couple guys there hanging next to him. We all read about it. And then we read how when he said it was finished and he gave up the ghost, and immediately the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Now, this was a thick felt veil. Like, I don't know, you ever tried to rip felt? It's like trying to rip, you know, a ream of paper or trying to rip a phone book. You know, it's fairly impossible for anyone to have gone in there and ripped that veil in the temple. But that was God signifying that it was done. That the sacrifice was over because the Messiah, the Lamb of God, was slain once for all. Oh, they may have fixed the veil in the temple, or they may have put another veil in there. And they may have gone through the motions, but they were all meaningless and useless motions because he put an end to it in the midst of the week. So let's read it again. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He shall suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant. I've got two witnesses in scripture there. And the fact that he actually did it, the third witness, I got two witnesses in the Old Testament, and the third witness is the New Testament. Many witnesses. We got four gospels that say it. So we got plenty of witnesses that this was the Messiah and he did this. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And we read in the prior verse that the end would come with a flood and the desolations were determined. So there you have it. Daniel's 70th week. So when you go to the Gospels, remember what you're reading about. You're reading about Daniel's 70th week. And when one brother cries out to his other brother and he says, we have found the Messiah. Well, put yourself in that brother's shoe, you know. If you're listening to this program, it's because you love God's word or you're concerned, you care about prophecy and you care about the word of God. And man, just think, put yourself back there and you're reading the word of God and you're reading the prophecies and you read, he's going to come to the temple and he's the messenger of the covenant. And there he is in the temple and you go, we found the Messiah. We found him because you've been counting the weeks. You know, it's the 69th week is up. 70th week is beginning. You know, if you look for him, you're going to find him because you believe. And you know what? The Heavenly Father did not disappoint those that were counting the weeks, that were counting the years, and going, the Messiah's here. I know he is. And there were hundreds, thousands, perhaps, looking for the Messiah, understanding very simple, very precise prophecies, simple enough to understand. You didn't have to have all the details. In this case, all you had to do was be able to count the years. And they were counting. Believe me, we'd be counting some years if we had a starting date and an ending date. But in our case, the same God who gave them the 70 weeks of years has told us no man knows the day or the hour. But certainly we can discern the signs of the times. And we know that we're getting close. I may not see it in my lifetime, but certainly my great-great-great-grandchildren will see it. Okay, we're going to pick back up in the Gospel of Mark here, now that I've established firmly where we are in the timeline of Israel. We're in the 70th week. That's what we're reading about in the Gospel, according to Mark. I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.